Turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. As Jordan mentioned, I'm going to be reading mainly from 16, but I'm going all the way through 17. And I'm doing as I did last week. I'm picking up on a theme. It's so difficult to pick out a verse in Proverbs or a chapter in Proverbs because it jumps from theme to theme. But there are places where that theme is especially evident, and what jumped out at me is the repeated theme in chapter 16 and 17 of Proverbs of speech or the use of the tongue. And so we'll look at it from that perspective this morning. But first, pay attention to the reading of God's infallible, inerrant word. Beginning at verse 20, chapter 16. Whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. The wise of heart is called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. A worker's appetite works for him. His mouth urges him on. The worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. Whoever winks his eyes plans dishonest things. He who purses his lips brings evil to pass. Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. A servant who deals wisely will rule over a son who acts shamefully and will share the inheritance as one of the brothers. The crucible is for silver, and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. Whoever mocks the poor insults his neighbor. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their father's. Fine speech is not becoming to a fool, still less is false speech to a prince. A bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Heavenly Father, blessed our understanding, the reading and the application of your infallible, inerrant word. Indeed, the grass withers, the flower fades and falls to the ground, but your word remains forever. Amen. Last week, we looked in chapter 15 and 16 at the theme of pride. This week, and we've done this before because Proverbs is full of admonitions about the tongue and about gracious speech. The second thing it says is the importance of gracious speech on the part of the king. truly is important. The words we say and how we say them are truly important. But the only way to be able to speak truth in love is through the life of the King Jesus. No doubt Solomon had in mind himself. No doubt he had in mind his father David. Perhaps even future kings in Israel, as the Holy Spirit moved him. But ultimately, the only true and gracious speech comes from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what comes from his lips? His word. And every word in Scripture is the word of King Jesus. Think about that and get it in deep into your mind and heart. And when you do understand, when you open this book and you read it, you're reading the King's letter to you. When you sit under its public reading and its public application, and if it is right and true and understood by you, it is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who is speaking to you. In contrast to how the wicked speak. So often, we live in an age where those in authority, we're grateful we don't live in a nation that has a king, but we were founded as a nation that looks to King Jesus. And we've gone so far from that. And so we have authority figures in our government who speak. And how often do these authorities speak falsehood and speak lies, to where trust in government leaders is at an all-time low, and it's understandable. The Word of God, though, should inform every part of every of our lives if we have our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We should have as a mark of our character gracious speech. The wise of heart, it says in verse 21, is called discerning. We are to have discernment. What kind of speech comes from a wise and discerning way of talking? It's an interesting word in the original language. It has in the translation, it comes right out. It's sweet words, kind words. If you've ever read Dale Carnegie's book, you should read. If you haven't read it, you should. How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's all about being gracious in your speech. It's not the gospel, but it gives you some good suggestions about how you should interact with people. If you're wise in heart, you're discerning. And if you're sweet and kind in your words, the scripture says here that your persuasiveness will increase your ability to be heard. It's, I think, and again, this is pure speculation on my part, but I think that Solomon wrote this shortly after he became king. It tells us that he immediately began the work of collecting proverbs as soon as he began his kingship. And famously, Solomon started out so well in his father's footsteps. His first act was to build the temple. And then before that, his first act was to ask God for wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 3. Give me wisdom. And God graciously answers his prayer because you haven't asked for riches, you haven't asked for power, you haven't asked for a great army. I'm going to give you wisdom and all these things you didn't even ask for. We witnessed in the church the passing of one of the great preachers in our lifetime, Dr. John MacArthur of Grace Community Church. And if you haven't listened to his sermons or read his books, you need to familiarize yourself with his ministry. He was such an eloquent man. And I studied how he preaches, and I've taken it to heart, some of the things he said. But his method was simple. He simply teaches the Bible, and he illustrates. And he would be offended by using him as an illustration, so I'll use it anyway. He can't be mad at me in heaven. You illustrate your text by illustrating it from the Bible. He had a radio ministry for many, many years, so aptly named, Grace to You. With gracious words informed by the scripture. He was a wise and clear communicator of the truth of the gospel of grace. And so should every believer be as well. Gracious speech is what comes from a heart that has been transformed by grace. And it is in complete opposition to the folly of the world. Good sense, verse 22. Good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it. But the instructions of fools is folly. So we should have gracious speech. Second, wise speech is necessary for the believer. Verse 23 tells us the heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. This tells us what makes for an effective communication of the truth. And again, it's a heart that has been transformed by grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ operating upon our heart, informed by the Word of God, enabled by the Holy Spirit. It is not enough merely to be eloquent. It is not enough to use wonderful words and wonderful speech. What makes preaching timeless is its timeless application based upon what the scripture says to us. I have a library filled with anecdotes, little sayings, clever little sayings, and it's always tempting to pull that off the shelf and give a quote from someone I've never really read very much about, don't know much about, it can be helpful, but nothing substitutes from basing what we say upon the infallible, inerrant Word of God. Wisdom, the wisdom of God comes from His Word, which He gave us. And it is what persuades the lost to believe the gospel. And it is what encourages those who do believe the gospel to live as followers of Jesus Christ. Wisdom beneficial speech. Our speech should benefit others. It says in verse 24 that gracious words are like a honeycomb, and they bring sweetness to the soul and the body. We sing that song, Psalm 19, don't we? And it's such a great song. They're more to be desired than gold, even much fine gold, because they are sweeter than the honey that comes from the honeycomb. I'm so glad that honey is a health food. You know, it is. I use a personal illustration. My wife gets mad at me when I put jelly on my biscuit. But she doesn't get mad at me when I put honey, because it's in the Bible, right? And it's good for you. It's sweet. It nourishes you. God's description. How did God describe the land he was giving to his people? It is a land flowing with milk and honey. It is a good land. It promises health to you. And there is a spiritual application of that. The word of God to the believer, when we read it, when we study it, when we sit under its teaching, when we are in a Bible study, it should be our experience that we can't get enough of it, because it is so good to our soul. It's not just some platitude that someone has given. It is the very truth of the Word of God. And it brings sweetness to the soul, and it brings health to the body. Just like honey is a health food, the Word of God is the healthiest spiritual food you could ever imbibe. And you need to be in a place where you feed upon it regularly, where there are multiple opportunities for you to partake of it. It needs to be a part of your daily diet. As an individual, as a family, it needs to be in your life. It needs to be front and center in your home and in your family. Our nation is on a health food kick, and that's good. It's really good. It's very convicting to me, but it's good. But our churches have been eating junk food. And just as surely as bad food will kill you, junk food is not founded completely and totally in the Word of God will destroy you. Verse 25 says it. There's a way that seems right. It seems right. But the end of it is death. Many times the end of what seems right will be physical death. But it's certainly true on a spiritual plane. The end of it is eternal death. This is the second time Proverbs has quoted, as Solomon has stated this truth. The first time was in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Words should build up, not tear apart. Jordan mentioned the catechism. He was so right to point out. I love our catechism. They give both sides. They give the positive and they give the negative. And usually the positive is first, and the ninth commandment, shorter and larger, it's that way. Recently, in our men's Friday morning Bible study that's at 6 a.m. that resumes this Friday, there's an announcement and advertisement in the middle of the sermon. A good place to come feed on the Word of God. We simply take the larger catechism proof texts and we go through them. When we got to the ninth commandment in the larger catechism, the shorter catechism is the condensed version. The larger is the long version. And it took us months to get through the verses of the ninth commandment, because there are so many verses in the Bible about speech, positively speaking and negatively speaking. In verses 27 and 28, it talks about divisive, dishonest speech. Verse 27, a worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. God wants his people to have gracious speech, to speak the truth in love. Not merely to speak the truth, but to speak it in love. Digging up dirt on someone in order to destroy them, that's the stuff of the political theater that is so able to engage us. It's the stuff of politics. Same in the church. You ever wonder why so many people get publicly exposed so often? Because it's engaging. People want to see the dirt. They want to hear about the dirt. It's a preview of judgment. And often it's man's attempt to be judged. But the Bible is really clear to us. We should always look at it in light of our coming judgment, because God's going to expose every single one of us. Every thought, not just the words, not just the actions, not just outward things. He's going to judge and expose our heart. Every thought that we have, he will lay bare. I've decided to do the New Testament wisdom literature on Sunday evening, and that's the book of James, if you're wondering. So if you want more of this, come on Sunday evening and hear the book of James. James is wisdom literature of the New Testament. James in chapter 3 describes the tongue as Solomon does here, as a burning fire. Such a small member, he says, such a small member of the body, such a tiny part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. How great a fire is set ablaze by such a small fire. There are people who make it their business to spread strife and turmoil. And it's a wicked business. We see it all the time. You won't go very far in life without seeing that, because it's just true. David defended himself before Saul. He said, why do you listen to the words of men who say to you as a complete lie, behold, David seeks your life. David never once sought Saul's life. In fact, he was given into David's hands on more than one occasion, and he refused to take his hand and strike God's anointed until God arranged it himself. Not by the hand of David. In Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul is upset with the church of Corinth. He's upset with them. I fear that when I come that I might find you not as I wish, and may find and you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip. conceit and disorder. Malicious speech. 17 verse 4, it says, an evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. Those who plan evil always do it by lying and falsehood. That's just the way, that's just the fact of life. It's a fact the Bible tells us very plainly. When Saul sought to kill David, he lied about his whereabouts, his presence, and had Doeg the Edomite kill the priests at Nob for harboring him. Evil people, wicked people, feed off of one another with slanderous words. Liars, according to the scriptures, gives ear to other liars in order to bring calamity and harm to others. Again, it sounds like the present headlines in our nation's government, doesn't it? Wicked, self-serving people use slanderous, malicious, destructive speech to advance themselves. It should not be so among God's people. Leviticus 19, verse 17, it says very plainly, you shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor. You should reason frankly with them. That's Matthew 18. If your brother sins against you, don't go talk to everyone else. You go to your brother. Speak to him in private. And win your brother. Another form of wicked speech is in verse 5 is gloating. Gloating speech. I think it says gloating in the King James Version. Mocking and gloating, that's the same thing. Whoever mocks the poor insults his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. Again, earlier, chapter 14, verse 31, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he is generous to the needy, honors him. The Bible gives several examples of this gloating. In Ezekiel, God prophesies through Ezekiel about Ammon. You're going to be destroyed because you gloated over Israel's destruction. In the book of Obadiah, the enemies of Israel, Edom, are told, don't gloat over my judgment of my people. You will be judged. Later on in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 17 and 18, we'll be taught very plainly, do not gloat or rejoice when your enemy falls. Because when you do, God's going to turn his judgment away from them and turn it upon you. Excellent speech should be what marks and characterizes our life. The last verse we'll look at is verse 7. Fine speech is not becoming to a fool, so less is false speech to a prince. No one should lie. Catechism, there are more proof texts about the tongue than any other sin. It shouldn't surprise us. All sin began with pride, and then it was introduced by a lie. It was Satan's first strategy was to lie. In Adam and Eve's first sin, after sinning together with us, was to lie. No one should lie. Especially those who are leaders should not lie. We would desire in an ideal world, government officials who speak and specialize in speaking in transparency and complete honesty. What a tall order, right? False speech does not become a leader, a prince. If you are a child of God, you are royalty. You have a royal lineage and legacy. You are adopted by the King of Kings. Because of the King of Kings, you are the brother and sister of Jesus Christ. Your speech should be transformed. Again, we will be judged ultimately by all of our deeds and our words. We're tempted to lie all the time. I know I am, especially when I go to the doctor. They start asking me questions and they're embarrassing. I don't want to tell you that. But if I don't answer honestly, who am I harming? Myself. If I don't tell the truth about my physical health to the doctor, who am I harming? God already knows the truth. He's the searcher of hearts. He knows every part of your being. The only right response to the truth of God's word is to come clean and tell the truth. That I'm hopeless apart from the grace of God. Scripture is so full of words like this. The psalmist says, we go astray from birth speaking lies. It's so ingrained in our nature. Our only hope is the gospel, the good news that Jesus died for sinners. Do you understand that? And the only hope for you is to come clean, to admit that you're a sinner, that your sin has absolute control of you apart from the grace of the Holy Spirit operating in your heart to change you. And the first step is that you have to admit that you're a sinner and you have no hope apart from the gospel. And you have no power to change apart from what God does in you through the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this great truth. Whether it's convicting to read the scriptures, help us to be honest about all the times we have lied to cover up our sin, lied to make ourselves look good. Help us to be bold in confessing our sin to you, first of all, and then to others. That we might be in a place where we could come alongside fellow sinners to tell them where they can find forgiveness and grace. Father, we pray that you do this work in each of us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.